Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to assemble together and study God's Word together. In Doug's absence, the elders have asked me to prepare a sermon, and I am grateful for the opportunity to stand before you and preach from God's Word. To begin the sermon this morning, I would like to begin with a question, and the question is, what do these items have in common? So you're going to see some pictures up on the screen, but the question is, what do these items have in common? First item is a mask. Second item is gasoline. Third item is lumber. And the last item is toilet paper. So think about that for a minute and think about it. A mask, gasoline, lumber, and toilet paper. What do these things have in common? I would venture to say that many of you all have figured this out, but it's that these four items have all increased in value to some degree here in the last year to year and a half. When you think about masks, early on in the pandemic, many of us were looking for masks. This was not something that we were ready for. We weren't accustomed to wearing masks on a regular basis. And so many people began to pull out sewing machines and find fabric and sew masks. I know that we were doing that in our own home. That caused a shortage of elastic, and elastic became valuable. A mask became very valuable, especially for a period of time. When you think about gasoline is very valuable. It's something that we are so dependent on in our everyday lives. Even here in the last few weeks, there was a shortage of gasoline that really affected the South and the East, in which gas stations were running out of gasoline, and gas prices skyrocketed because gas is very valuable to us. You think about lumber. Lumber prices over the last year have continued to skyrocket higher and higher. Many people who have been considering buying a home, or I should say building a home, have put it off. And the reason why they're putting it off is because the price just keeps escalating. And so they're hoping that the price will come down. Builders are obviously being dealt a difficult card here also because they're having to deal with lumber prices going up higher and higher, and they're having to put out multiple bids. And that's due to the rising cost and the value of lumber. And then you think about toilet paper. And I would say that many of us never would have expected the demand of toilet paper to be what it was back in March or April of last year, that many stores did not have something that has always been there and that the shelves were empty and bare, and people began to hoard something as simple as this. But for a period of time, it became very valuable, didn't it? And so these are all things that over the last year, year and a half, have seen increased value. How interesting it is that the price of things change and the value of items change and alter, and circumstances come and go, which alters prices and alters value. But when it comes to the value of masks, the value of gasoline, the value of lumber, the value of even toilet paper, these are physical things that can see their value increase or they can see their value decrease. And we have seen empty shelves of some of these items, and we have seen shelves stocked to the fullest. A follow-up question we could have after considering these items is, what makes something valuable? What makes something valuable? Well, first of all, if an item is rare or an item is sparse, it typically raises the value. You think about something that is one of a kind. Usually that's a very valuable thing, isn't it? You think about the condition of an item can also raise or alter the value or maybe even decrease the value of an item. In music class, I teach about very expensive violins that are called Stradivari violins. Back in the 1600s, there was a luthier whose name was Antonio Stradivari, and he made these very amazing violins that some people think are the greatest sounding violins ever made. Well, what is the most expensive violin on this earth? It is a violin that was made by Stradivari during his golden age when he was making his best instruments. And they believe that it has never been played. It's been 300 years, roughly, and the instrument has never been played. It's in mint condition. And so, obviously, the value of that is quite expensive. They believe that if it went to auction, it would be worth around $20 million. Something else that makes something valuable is necessity, something we cannot do without. There are so many things of that nature. Water, gasoline would be in that category. It makes things very valuable. Also, appearance. There are things that are just beautiful. They're beautiful to look at, beautiful to behold. Sometimes those items end up in museums and they sell at auctions for very expensive prices because they're so valuable based on their appearance. Convenience. In America, it seems like we have more and more inventions all the time of things that make life more convenient. And those things are of value. People can charge high prices for convenience. What about durability? If you have something that's made of a very strong material, you think about steel, you can charge a high price for something like that because it's very strong and very durable. Then also you have sentimental items. Each of us have items that belong to us that we have in our homes that are very sentimental to us. We have an emotional attachment with them. And so those items are really things that you cannot put price tags on because they're so special and valuable to us. Might be something that we got from, it was from our childhood, or something that we got from a loved one. But they're very valuable. When we think about something that has maintained its value pretty well historically, especially better than many other things, I think you think about gold. And yes, the price of gold has had periods where it has risen and fallen, but overall, when you think about historically, gold has had a pretty good rate of value. It's been highly sought after. Gold has a very unique color, a very unique brightness and shine. It's very durable. It's very strong. It's something that is a malleable material. It can be stretched. It can be shaped. When you think about just about an hour and a half from here, there is a place called Fort Knox that I'm sure many of you all have seen or are familiar with. Fort Knox was built in 1937, the Fort Knox Bullion Depository. And in this building right here, you have right around half or a little more than half of the United States gold treasury is inside of that building. You also think about this building within itself. It is framed in steel. It has walls of concrete. It includes a door to the safe that is 20 tons. The details and the contents of Fort Knox are known to very few people, and no one single person can even get all the way through it to get to the safe. It has to go through a process of multiple people doing multiple steps to open the safe. So why all this protection and why all this security at Fort Knox? It's because gold is obviously incredibly valuable. What about gold in the Bible? Gold in the Bible. The first mention of gold in the Bible, if you start back in the book of Genesis and you start turning pages, you don't have to go very far. It's in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, we read, "Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. The gold of that land is good." When you think about gold and it being discussed in the Bible, you think about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was this amazing structure that God commanded Moses to build in Exodus chapter 25. Gold was used in the construction of the tabernacle in many areas. It is estimated that some 2,000 pounds of gold was used in its construction. You think about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with pure gold inside and out. It had gold molding around it. It had gold rings. The poles were acacia wood that were overlaid with gold. The mercy seat was to be of pure gold with two cherubim of gold. The table of showbread was overlaid with gold. The dishes, the pans, the jars, the bowls, all these various utensils in the tabernacle were made of gold. Even the lampstand was made of pure gold, and so were so many other details in the tabernacle. And this came from God himself. So God knew of the value, the material value of gold, and he wanted and desired for it to be used in the tabernacle's construction. You also think about Solomon's temple. As far as Solomon's temple, you think about King David, who desired to build a house for God, but he was not able to. And so, since he could not do that, he stored up great abundance of riches for his son Solomon to build this temple. One of the things he stored up, as we're told in 1 Chronicles 22:14, is that he stored up 100,000 talents of gold. That is roughly 7.5 million pounds of gold for this building. In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 3, we read of the details of this amazing structure that Solomon built. He overlaid the house with gold. The beams were of gold, the thresholds were of gold, the walls and its doors were of gold. The Holy of Holies was overlaid with gold, accounting to 600 talents. The upper rooms were covered in gold. The cherubim in the Holy of Holies was overlaid with gold. Again, the utensils, like the lampstands, forks, bowls, pitchers, basins, cups, were all made of gold. This would have been quite the structure to see. Imagine a room just covered with gold. Gold is valuable. It is precious. It is something that historically has held its worth quite well. But even with all that we know about material things and the value of gold, God's word reveals that there's something quite richer and quite greater and finer than gold. We're going to be discussing that this morning. So the title of the sermon this morning is "More to Be Desired Are They Than Gold." More to be desired are they than gold, searching and finding what is truly valuable. When you look at God's word and you begin searching for passages that discuss things that are greater than gold, one of the things you'll find is it's the law and the commandments of God. In Psalm chapter 19, we have what we are, the title of our sermon comes from, "More to be desired are they than gold." It comes from Psalm 19. It's also a song that we often sing. But Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." The psalmist here speaks of the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, the fear, and the judgments of the Lord, and the great value and riches that you find within them, and how valuable they truly are, and how more valuable they are than gold or sweeter than honey. What is the condition? We talk about things that make items valuable. Well, what's the condition of the law of the Lord? It's perfect. The commandment of the Lord is pure. What about its durability? What's the durability of the testimony of the Lord? It's strong. It's sure. The fear of the Lord endures forever. The statutes of the Lord are right and cause us to rejoice. They bring us happiness. Let us constantly remind ourselves of the value of the commands of God and how precious they are to be to us, because in keeping them, here in verse 11, there is great reward. Also, when you think about the law and commandments being valuable, you think of Psalm 119, verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Psalm 119, 127. "Therefore, I love your commandments above gold," yes, above pure gold. The writer of Psalm 119 loved the commands of God more than any earthly wealth or any riches. So the application for us and the question we have to ask ourselves is, are the commands of God valuable to me? Are the commands of God valuable to you? Do you respect them? Do you appreciate them? It's something we have to ask ourselves. "More to be desired are they than gold" is wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. A major theme in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And how profound it is that it comes from the wisest man that we know of who lived, which is Solomon, who God had granted wonderful wisdom. But you think about here, he encourages the value of wisdom throughout the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13, if you want to grab your Bibles and read this with me, but it's Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13, we have a passage that tells about the value and the riches of wisdom, godly wisdom. And in verse 13, it begins by saying, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver. Her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord is wisdom founded. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence, and it will keep your foot from being caught." This passage goes into much detail about the value of wisdom, being greater than gold, being greater than riches, because nothing you can desire compares with wisdom, the wisdom of God. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Proverbs, later in Proverbs in chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, we read, "Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." And then also in verse 19, "My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield is better than choicest silver." There's great value in pursuing wisdom, the wisdom that only God can provide. And how often we are tempted to look upon our own wisdom, to look at our own selves when we're facing a decision or facing circumstances, and look at our own wisdom and make our own choices. Or maybe we petition the opinions and the wisdom of others. In some cases, that's a good thing, obviously. But how often do we pray to God and say, "God, give me wisdom to make a wise decision"? How often do we go to God's Word to seek His wisdom and the riches within it when making decisions in daily life? That is where true wisdom is found, and that wisdom and knowledge is to be valued. "More to be desired are they than gold" is conduct. Here we're speaking of godly conduct, and there are several passages that support this. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, "Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." Each of us have had moments in which we have been going through a difficulty or a circumstance, and someone has just said the right words at the right time. It may have been words of comfort. It may have been a word of encouragement. It might have been a card in the mail. Could have been all kinds of different ways that it was given to you, but the right word was spoken at the right time. And those things are beautiful, aren't they? They are like apples of gold and settings of silver. They are precious and memorable to us. Proverbs 20 and verse 15, "There is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing." How important it is that when we speak with knowledge. That is a beautiful thing. And we could also put into application the opposite of that, that the lips of someone who is lacking knowledge is not a precious thing. How true that is also. But we need to be seeking the knowledge of the Lord when we speak. Proverbs 25 and verse 12, "Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." Rebuking or reproving someone is not maybe the first thing that crosses our mind when we think about something being highly valued. But God's word reveals that it actually is something to be highly valued. But when you look at the details here, it is quite significant here in Proverbs 12 or 25, verse 12. "Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." What is the responsibility of the one who is rebuking or the one who is reproving? It's to be wise. There's a way to do it. It's not to do it to degrade someone else or to do it for elevation of your own pride or things of that nature. There is a wise way to reprove someone. And then when you look at the other party, how is the other party to respond? How am I to respond when I'm being rebuked? To have a listening ear. And when both of those things work together, you have a wise rebuker or a wise reprover with someone with a listening ear. It is a beautiful thing. It is like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold. It's beautiful in the eyes of God. And that's where growth can come. And that's where correction can come. Proverbs 22 in verse 1, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Your name is to be valued. Your name is to be something that you want to have a good reputation. The greatest name that we can bear is the name that many of us do bear, and it's that of Jesus Christ. How important it is on a daily basis for us to remind ourselves that you are a Christian. There's no greater name. And when you bear the name of Christ, you are living up to the standard of Christ. You are of Christ. And so we have to have his characteristics in our lives as far as how would Christ behave from moment to moment. How would Christ think? How would Christ act? That is the greatest name we can bear. And it is a beautiful and valuable thing in the eyes of God our Father. More to be desired are they than gold. It's the blood of Christ. We just concluded the Lord's Supper a few moments ago, but how beautiful it is and how valuable it is to us, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 18, reads, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. How are the lost redeemed? How is a soul saved? All the gold of this earth, all the gold of Fort Knox, cannot atone for one soul. It doesn't do anything. It's worthless. But the blood of Jesus Christ atones for sins. And it doesn't just atone for my sin. It doesn't just atone for your sins. It atones for the sins of all mankind. How precious it is. Peter here points out, it's precious blood of a lamb that's unblemished. It's spotless. It's not something that is perishable, but imperishable, that redeemed us. How richly valuable is the blood of Christ, and we need to constantly remind ourselves of the price that was paid for us. More to be desired are they than gold is your faith and your soul. We just mentioned that Christ, his blood, paid the price for your soul. Well, obviously, because he paid that price, your soul is valuable. Your faith is valuable. 1 Peter 1, in verse 7, we read, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ is incredibly valuable. It's incredibly valuable. It's more valuable than all this world's riches. Your faith in Jesus Christ is unperishable, unlike the riches of this world. Our faith in Christ and our obedience to him has the ultimate of rewards, doesn't it? Our faith brings about, when we act in salvation, we live a life of faithfulness to him. It brings us an imperishable prize. 1 Corinthians 9:25 teaches everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, so they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Many of us love sports. We love watching competition, that they get a trophy. They may even get a gold medal. What happens to that gold medal many years from now? They might lose it. They might sell it. At some point, it's going to be burned up and destroyed. But the thing that you have as a Christian cannot be belittled whatsoever. you have the greatest of riches if you are of Christ and you are a Christian. You have an imperishable crown, an imperishable thing waiting for you of eternal life with God Almighty and with Jesus. Your faith in Jesus Christ is so valuable. So the question is this morning, what do you value? What do you value? What's valuable to you? Some of these passages that we looked at dealt with the commands of God. Are the commands of God valuable to you? Is the wisdom of God something that you're pursuing because it's valuable to you? What about godly conduct? The way you speak, the way you act, is it valuable? Do you value the blood of Christ and the price that was paid for you? Do you value your faith? Is it valuable to you? Psalm 19 tells us, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. They are precious things, aren't they? So the question this morning is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? We have those in our number this morning that have not obeyed the gospel. This morning, you can do something that is of utmost value to you. We ask that you will consider your soul and that you will consider your life and understand what the blood of Christ has done for you and for your sins. This morning, you can be baptized. You can have your sins washed away and you can have the most valuable thing you can possibly have, and that is soul salvation, to walk with Him and to begin life anew. Also, you may be a Christian here this morning and you realize you have not valued things as you should. You have not reminded yourself of the value of the blood of Christ and you have sinned. If you have sin in your life, you can repent of that and you can change. And God will accept your repentance and forgive you. His word is true. So if you're subject this morning to the Lord's invitation, we ask you'll come forward as together we stand and sing.